Good morning, everyone, and welcome to West End. We are so grateful to see you here with us here to worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, here this morning. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. Lent is a 40-day period that we celebrate that leads us right up to Good Friday and to Easter. And so during this 4 days, it's traditionally been a season of preparation, reflection, renewal, repentance, and fasting. It's a time for us to mourn the brokenness of the world and the damage that is caused by sin, and including and especially our own sin. Yeah, it's also a time to rejoice and to celebrate the good news of the salvation that is freely given to us through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. That is why we are here today, to gather and to worship. And so we invite you to use the next 40 days to step into a time to prepare your hearts for Good Friday and for Easter. And as we do that, we also invite you to stand up right now and say hi to the people around you. If you're not sure who they are, just introduce yourself, and hopefully they'll do the same. Join with me as we do a reflective reading here this morning. Let us worship God who has done great things.
We rejoice in our God who made a way through the desert.
Let us worship God who has caused streams of mercy to flow in the wasteland.
We are the people God has formed through Christ. We worship him and we rejoice.
Let us worship God in spirit and in truth.
We praise God for the grace that he saved us. Hallelujah. We rejoice.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy, come to the table he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
Bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved, God so loved the world. Praise God. gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved. God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
Listen to these words from 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. For you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
As we hear these words from God, we can't help but find ourselves both assured and challenged. Assured that we are indeed God's people who are forgiven, loved, and cherished, but also challenged to live as people of light who have been called out of darkness. For it is God's will that we who believe and who have been shown mercy would live lives that glorify him and give praise and honor to Jesus Christ.
There is love that came for us, humbled to a sinner's cross. He broke my shame and sinfulness. He rose again victorious. Faithfulness none can deny. Through the storm and through the fire, there is truth that sets me free. Jesus Christ, who lives in me. You are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all. No beginning, yes, no end. You're to seek and save the lost. You paid it all upon the cross. You are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. Be lifted higher.
stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all. You are stronger. You are stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all.
Please be seated.
Just a couple announcements here today. Just want to remind you that after the church today, head on back, grab a cup of coffee and a cookie, and then make your way back in the sanctuary. We are having a congregational meeting to talk about sprinklers. Should be a good time. And it's a big thing. So we just encourage you to grab your cookie, grab your coffee, and make your way back in here for that. Just also, as we start making this journey to the cross, as we get ready for Good Friday and Easter, we just really invite you to dig deep in. Let this be a time where we really just focus our hearts on Christ. To help you do that, we've also got a couple different ways. We created a Lent devotional. Those are in the back of the church. They're actually should be on the Welcome Center, plus also where you get your bulletins. So if you have not grabbed one of these and you'd like one, those are available to you, just kind of daily devotionals during the next several weeks as we get ready and moving closer to Easter. There's also a texting service where you can get this right to your phone, and so that information is in the bulletin. And so we just encourage you to really use this next several weeks to really draw closer to Christ. In the bulletin, it'll tell you that after church, if you go to the cafe, you can hear Tim Visser talk more about his adventures in Uganda and how he got stuck there for an extra couple weeks and what he was doing there and how that all worked. But we're actually going to push that back till next week because, you know, we got a congregational meeting and we got to talk about sprinklers. And so we're going to do that instead. And so that will be next week instead. And then also just want to let you know that Helen Borsma passed away a couple weeks ago, and there are going to be a funeral right here at church this Thursday. Visitation will be at 12:30, and the funeral will be at 2 o'clock for those who are interested. And at this time, kids, you are welcome to head on out to your time of children's worship. So kids, you can make your way down to the basement. And as they're heading out, I just also want to remind you that the third weekend of May, we always do a church retreat. We take our church, and we get as many of us as we can to go camping over at the Christian Reformed Conference grounds in Grand Haven. And so we want, one, to put that on your calendar, and then two, also let you know that we're starting to do reservations for the cottages. The campground has a small number of cottages that are available, and so if you are interested in joining us for the weekend and would like a cottage, you can drop those reservation forms in the mailbox that's located in the back over by the bathrooms. And so with that, let's go before God in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you. God, we use this time of Lent just to follow you. You are a God that humbled yourself to a point of nothing, even taking on the very form of a servant, faithful even to the cross. So God, as followers of you, we pray that we can do that as well. That you'll use this time in our life to humble ourselves, to recognize our sin, and recognize the brokenness that we see not only in the world, but in ourselves. God, we bring ourselves to you. And we know that our offerings of our hearts and our souls is broken, and yet that's what you call. You call us to bring ourselves just as we are. We don't need to pretend to be better than we are. We just are called to come before you. And so, God, we do that here and now. God, we pray you'll take our brokenness. Pray you'll take our pride. And that you'll break us before your grace, and that we can be overwhelmed by your Spirit here today. God, we pray that you'll be with those who need an extra measure of your grace here this morning. God, we think of the Borsma family. Just pray you'll be with them this week as they remember and they mourn the loss of their mom. and grandma. And we just pray that you'll be with their entire family here this upcoming week as they have her funeral. God, we pray that you'll continue to be with Alma Kuiper as she recovers from a broken hip. We pray that you'll grant her body the strength that it needs, that you'll grant her swift healing so that she can return home sooner than later. God, we pray that you'll be with Faye Lazzarini as she continues to struggle with her health issues, and we just pray that you'll be with her and wrap your arms around her and remind her that she does not do this journey alone, but that you are a God that is gracious and that you are a God that is with her. And God, here today we also remember Pastor Dan and pray that you'll be with him as he leads a group to Israel to learn more about you, to study. We just pray that you'll keep them all safe, return them home safely in a couple weeks, and we just ask that your spirit will be alive in this trip and that you'll use this as a time to not only open their minds, but open their hearts to more of you. And God, here this morning, we pray that you'll be with Jillian. We thank you for the message that you have placed on her heart, and we just pray that your spirit will be alive in her and alive in this place so that as we open up your word, that you will reach deep into our hearts and speak to us here this morning. We're grateful for her willingness to use the gifts and the talents that you have given her. So God, here this morning, may you calm her nerves and may your spirit be poured forth from her. And God, all this we pray in the confidence that comes from serving you, knowing that you are a good, loving, and gracious God. So we pray this all in the name and power of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Well, as we all know, today is the first Sunday in the season of Lent. And as we've been reminded, it's a time for us to remember the suffering of Christ and the weight of our sin as we prepare for Easter morning. When Lent began in the ancient church in the 4th century, it was a time when Christianity had just become a legal and promoted religion in the Roman Empire. So in response to the influx of adult converts, the church developed this time as a way to disciple these new Christians as they prepared for their baptism, which would take place on Easter morning. So this was an intense 40-day catechism that the entire church took part in, and everyone was expected to participate, either as they prepared for their baptism or as they walked along those who were preparing for theirs. The focus was not merely on the suffering and death of Jesus, but on our union with Christ in his death and resurrection through our baptism, and on the new life that we are given through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to live as disciples of Christ, a life of repentance, which is daily dying to self and rising to Christ, with Christ. So as I thought about this sermon, I hope that that intro will serve as a framework for us as we look at this passage today, but also as we enter into the Lent season. This is a time for each of us, whether we are new to the faith, whether we're just learning and discovering who Jesus is, or whether we've been disciples and followers of Jesus for a long time, we can all participate in this and learn more about what it means to be a disciple. So with that, I would ask you to rise in body and spirit for the reading of God's word. This is Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So it's a few days before the Passover, and Jesus and his disciples are having a meal together. It's been a very busy several days. Jesus had his triumphal entry into the city. He drove out the people, the buyers and sellers from the temple. And he's been constantly questioned by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and he's been responding to them. Emotion and energy is high, and it's clear that big things are about to happen. And in the middle of all that, we're told this small moment that takes place in Jesus' life before his death. They're in the room having this meal, and a woman comes in. She's carrying a jar, a very expensive perfume. It's estimated that the contents of that jar could have been worth almost a year's wages. And she stops behind Jesus, and she does something that shocks the whole room. She opens it, and she pours it out on his head. The shock felt by the disciples quickly shifts to fury. Why this waste? This complete, utter waste. The word used here is often used in the New Testament to describe sinners on their path of destruction. Basically, those who are headed to eternal separation from God. There is no redeeming good in their eyes for what she has just done. She should have sold it. She should have given it to the poor. Instead, she wasted it on Jesus. But why are they so angry at this? What's at stake for them? This indignation that they talked about is the same emotion that's used to describe how the Pharisees felt toward Jesus, which led them to want to kill him. But it's also the same emotion that's used to describe how Jesus felt when he saw his disciples trying to keep the children from coming to him. This anger is the kind of feeling that's aroused in us when we see someone doing something we believe is wrong. So this woman had not merely wasted something in their eyes. What she had done was morally wrong. Instead of helping the poor, she had wasted it. And Jesus points this out to them. He turns and he says, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me." Jesus gently rebukes them. He doesn't get angry, but he challenges them to think about why they're angry. He validates this woman's actions. He says she's done a beautiful work to me. The good work the disciples wanted her to do, Jesus is saying, no, she's already done it to me. And he continues to place that emphasis on himself. He says, "You will always have the poor, but you will not always have me." Now, when Jesus says this, he isn't dismissing the poor or throwing them under the rug or saying they don't matter. He's actually quoting part of the Old Testament law in Deuteronomy, a part where God is commanding his people to give generously to the poor. And he promises that if they do this, he will bless them. But if they don't, they will be found guilty of sin. So maybe that's what the disciples were thinking of when they said this. But if you go back farther in Deuteronomy, God starts off the commandments by saying this: to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and soul. And then God reminds the Israelites why they are to do this. Because he is the creator of heaven and earth, and he has chosen them and delivered them from slavery. And it is the reminder of what he has done that is then to motivate them and spur them on to love and obey him. But we know from the Old Testament that the Israelites would quickly forget this, in the same way that we see the disciples doing that now. So easy it is for our focus to be on ourselves and the works that we can do in an attempt to earn God's blessing, as opposed to having our love on God, not because of what we can do, but because what he has already done for us. In 1 Corinthians, it says, "If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." Jesus is calling his disciples to repentance instead of putting their value on the good works they can do and putting it on him instead. And when this woman had done this, when she had demonstrated her love for Jesus by pouring out what she had, she challenged the view that the disciples had, and they were angry because of it. And we all have morals and values that we live by. These are first taught to us in our families, but as we grow and we experience life, I think we develop new ones. And these things that we live by, they are how we view the world and how we view others. There are tangible things that we value, like our possessions, money, our job. But oftentimes there are deeper things underneath that, like wanting to live lives of integrity or honesty or wisdom or generosity. We want to do well with our money so that we can be wise stewards. We want to give generously so that we can care for those who don't have. And we build our lives around this. And when we fail, or when we feel like we haven't lived up to these standards and morals, it can leave us feeling guilty or ashamed. And then on the other side, when we see other people who aren't living up to those values, like the disciples, we too can feel indignant or angry because they're not living up to what we think life should be lived. Just like the Israelites and the disciples, God has given us his word, and he gives us these morals to live by, these values to uphold, and he wants us to follow them and to walk in them. But we too can get so focused on obeying these rules or fighting for our cause that we forget our first love. We forget why we are doing these things and who we are doing them for. And it don't have to look far to see how this plays out, whether from the pandemic or from politics or religious controversies, values from a global to national to individual level have been challenged these last few weeks and years, and people have gotten angry. Whether it's how we respond to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, or how we respond to racial injustice in our country, or the human sexuality report in the CRC, or even in our families, how we have discussions about how to wear masks or whether we should or should not get vaccinated. Beneath all of these conversations, all of these issues, there are morals that we are holding that are driving us. And responding to these issues is a thing that God calls us to do. Just like giving to the poor is a thing that God wants us to do. The Bible has so much to say about these things. And when we feel that anger or indignation, it's something we need to listen to, but we also need to stop and ask, what are we really valuing? Where is our love? Because we can see in this passage that there are times when we can do things in a way that does not honor God. And there are times when we need to repent because our value is not placed on our love for Jesus, but it's placed on ourselves as we try to earn God's blessing. But Jesus goes on. He says, "When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached, what she has done will be told in memory of her." By pouring out her perfume on Jesus, this woman took what was most valuable to her, and she's acknowledging Jesus as her Messiah. She's demonstrating her love for him. Now, pouring perfume on a body to prepare it for burial was a normal thing in that day, but this was done after a person dies. The only people who would be anointed with perfume before death were criminals. So Jesus had been telling his disciples for some time that he was going to be killed, but he refers to his death again here. And this time he's telling them what kind of death he's going to die, the death of a criminal. And he goes on to say, wherever this good news is preached, this good news of my death and resurrection, what this woman has also done will be told. Her act of love and devotion is connected forever to what Jesus is about to do on the cross. Jesus shares his blessing with this woman. And in the same way that Jesus shares his blessing with this woman and he resets the value system for the disciples, he does so for us. And how can we know that? Well, when we look back at what Jesus says, he says, wherever this gospel is preached, what she has done will be told in memory of her. So what about her action connects to Jesus' death on the cross? The woman demonstrated her love for Jesus by taking what was most valuable and pouring it out for him. This woman's action of pouring oil prepared him for his burial, and God was able to take what she did, this act of hers, to glorify Jesus. It was a beautiful thing. But what she did was a reflection of what Jesus was about to do. In the Gospel of Matthew, God repeatedly displays how much he loves and values his son, Jesus. Twice, he says, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And on the cross, we see God's love for us as he gives his son for us. Like the woman, Jesus displays his extravagant love by pouring out his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. In our sin, we have challenged the value system of God, and we deserve to be subject to his anger. But on the cross, Jesus takes the place of a criminal. He bears that weight, and he fulfills the Old Testament law. He receives God's blessing, and by his death and resurrection, he extends that blessing to us. In the same way that God looks on Jesus and smiles, so too we can know with confidence that God looks on us and says, "This is my child whom I love and am well pleased." God gives us his blessing, and there is nothing we can do to add or subtract from it. And God is also able to take our actions and bring glory to Jesus, whether they are big or small. We cannot literally pour oil onto the head of Jesus, but he tells us that what we do for the least of these, we do to him. When we are moved by our love for Jesus, the works we do become beautiful works to him. Whether it's things like faithfully raising children, or being kind to kids at school, obeying our parents, standing up for the issues that prick our hearts, like social injustice, abortion, caring for refugees, welcoming in outsiders. These things that God has given us love and passion for, these gifts that God has given us, we can pour out to Him and bring glory to Jesus through the power of the Spirit. And this gospel is the power of God. It's initiated by God because of His love for us. I think that this truth is portrayed very beautifully in the hymn, "And Can It Be?" written by Charles Wesley. I read this about the hymn, and I think it adds to the weight of it as it describes what happened when before Charles wrote this song. He and his brother had been part of starting the Methodist movement, and they were very rigid and severe in the practice of personal disciplines. But after returning home from a disastrous trip to the American colonies, Charles was ill and heartbroken. And it was during this time that someone offered him a copy of Martin Luther's work on Galatians. He was overwhelmed by the realization that his legalism was just an attempt to earn the unfailing love that God lavished upon him freely. And in response to that, he wrote this beautiful hymn with a refrain that says, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, would die for me?" And one of my favorite parts of this hymn is one of the last verses, because I think it powerfully displays what this amazing love of God and the impact it has on our lives. It says, "My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine." And that's our assurance as Christians. And we need constant reminding of this truth, reminding of the amazing love of God that is poured out for us. And it is through the knowledge of that that we are then able to love him in return and to follow after him as disciples. And this is not an easy way to live. When we hold Jesus as the highest value, we too will challenge the system of the world and be subject to its anger. And we also will find that we fail again and again and again to do this out of love for him, which is why these constant reminders are so needed. Just like the Israelites needed, just like the disciples needed, we too need these reminders of his love, which then motivates us to love him in return. And one way we are able to remember God's love for us is through coming to the table in communion. In communion, we see God's body, Jesus's body and blood poured out for us. And as we partake in it, we can know that the reality of that bread and juice is as real as his love for us. We can remember the work that he has done throughout history and will bring to completion. Our hope is not here on this earth, but it is coming. So as we take this time to pray and sing songs and prepare for communion, let us remember the amazing love of God that he would come and die for us. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your amazing love. We thank you for your work of creation and redemption that you have been working through the beginning of time. Have you worked through the Old Testament, through the Israelites, and you gave them your law, but Lord, you also knew that wasn't enough, and so Jesus, you came to this earth to die for our sins, and to be raised again so that we could be raised in new life with you. Thank you for your promise to come again, that you will return and you will complete this good work that you have begun. Thank you for this good work that you have begun in each of us. And Lord, as we take communion now, Lord, I pray we would be reminded of this amazing love, and that would be what sets our hearts free to rise up and follow you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
As the elders make their way up front, just what a beautiful reminder that is, that we serve a God that poured out his love for us. And a beautiful challenge to us to remember where is our love and where is our focus. And so, Jillian, I just want to say thank you for pouring yourself into that scripture, pouring yourself out here before us today. It was just a very powerful and beautiful reminder that we're just called to do that. We're supposed to pour out our gifts on God as our love offering to him and just trust that God will do something beautiful through that. So thank you for doing just that. And yet, here today, we just take that one step farther, and we're reminded that we serve a God that poured out his love for us, and that was seen so clearly on the cross. Today, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which is a clear and beautiful reminder of Jesus' deep and everlasting love for us as he poured it out on the cross. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord has prepared his table for all who love him and trust in him. They trust in him alone as their for their salvation, and so all who are truly sorry for their sins and who sincerely believe in the Lord as their Lord and Savior Jesus and desire to live in obedience with him as their Lord are now invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord. At the Last Supper, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. We do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as remembrance of me." So whenever we eat this bread and we drink this drink, we do this in remembrance of the Lord and Jesus who died and gave his life for us. And we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Join with me as we pray before we celebrate Lord's Supper tonight. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit here so that this bread and this cup may be for us the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and in love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, to the glory of your kingdom. In this we pray. Amen.
Spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring? To so faithful a friend, to so loving a king, Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part of the dead. Took all the shame away, there defeated my
what can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. What can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? What can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? What can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed, of the debt of love that is owed, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me? Oh my God, if I
People of God, what amazing love, and how can it be that our God and our Savior died for me? Take and eat and remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. In the same way we take this drink. Take and drink and remember and believe the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. Join me in a word of prayer. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with the spiritual food and the sacrament of his blood and his body. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and to serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise for God's blessing here today. People of God, we're just reminded how Christ our Savior poured himself out so freely for us, and he has called us to go out and do the same. We challenge you to go out and be people that love. Show our love for God by the way we love others, and may we pour ourselves out for others in the same way Christ poured out his love for us. And as you do, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen.
How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Go in peace.